It looked like y'all are enjoying that. If you have your Bibles, let me invite you to find with me the book of Judges, chapter 1. If you go to the beginning of your Bibles and go through the first five books of the Bible, and then come to Joshua, and then you'll find Judges. Judges chapter 1 is where we'll be at this morning, beginning a new sermon series entitled Broken People and Faithful God, a study in the book of Judges. I want you to look at these headlines on the screen for just a moment. Family feud leaves 69 brothers dead. The next one says, powerful government leader caught in love nest. That sounds interesting. All right, next one. Girls at party kidnapped and forced to marry strangers. Okay. Woman judge says travelers no longer safe on highway. Well, these headlines do not appear in sensational tabloid magazines. These headlines could be written across the pages of the book of Judges. Every one of these come from stories that took place in the book of Judges. You know, Judges is one of those books that most people have heard maybe one or two sermons on. How many of you heard a sermon on Gideon? Raise your hand. All right, most of you have. How many of you ever heard a sermon on Samson? Raise your hand. Okay, so you've heard the two most famous sermons in the book of Judges. But you know there's a whole lot more in the book of Judges than just Gideon and Samson. The book of Judges is a contrast from what we find in Joshua. The book of Joshua, we see the nation of Israel resting after they had enjoyed the riches that God had given to them in the promised land. But as they come into the book of Judges, we see a cycle that begins to take place in their lives. A cycle of rebellion, a cycle of retribution, repentance, and then renewal. And that cycle continues over and over again throughout the book of Judges. One of the most important verses from the book of Judges is found in chapter 21, verse 25. Listen to what the Bible says. It says in chapter 21, verse 25, in those days there was no king in Israel. And listen to this. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. I believe that the book of Judges is an appropriate book for us to study in our current day. I believe that there are a lot of similarities between what we see in the book of Judges and what we find happening in our country, in our lives right now today. Because there are a lot of people, and there may be some people right here in this room today that are doing things what they feel is right in their own lives. And Judges is a reminder to all of us that there are broken people. And we have certainly seen that so clearly this weekend. There are broken people all around us. And we also need to be reminded this morning that in the midst of that brokenness, there is a faithful God. Amen? There is a faithful God. And so we're going to study this book together over the next several Sundays and think about that subject over and over again, a broken people and a faithful God. This morning we're going to begin in chapter 1. And to be honest with you, chapter 1, if you were just to read it over and kind of read it through quickly, it just looks like, or appears to be, a long list of battles. One battle after another. But the reality is, as you dig into this chapter, what you discover is a microcosm, a picture of a half-hearted disciple. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. What does a half-hearted disciple look like? And how can I make sure that I am not a half-hearted disciple? And so if you have a copy of God's Word, let's stand together in honor of reading God's Word this morning. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read verses 1 and 2 of chapter 1. And then we're going to go to chapter 2 and read verses 1 through 5. So beginning in chapter 1, the Bible says, "After the death of Joshua, the people of Israel inquired of the Lord, 'Who shall go up first for us against the Canaanites to fight against them?' And the Lord said, 'Judah shall go up. Behold, I have given the land into his hand.'" Now fast forward over to chapter 2. "Now the angel of the Lord went up from Gilgal to Bochim, and he said, 'I brought you up from Egypt and brought you into the land that I swore to give to your fathers. I said, I will never break my covenant with you, and you shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of this land. You shall break down their altars. But you have not obeyed my voice. What is this that you have done? So now I say, I will not drive them out before you, but they shall become thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare to you.'" As soon as the angel of the Lord spoke these words to all the people of Israel, the people lifted up their voices and they wept, and they called the name of that place Bochim, and they sacrificed there to the Lord. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you, God, that your word is true. And God, even though your word was written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit many, many years ago, God, it still speaks today. And it still applies to our lives today. God, we know that there are broken people. We know that we are broken people. And God, we also recognize, God, that you are faithful. So very faithful. So God, help us this morning as we begin to study this wonderful book of the Bible, to be able to apply it to our hearts and to our lives. God, I pray that you'd speak to us through your Spirit. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. There are four things I want you to see this morning about a half-hearted disciple. And it begins with God. It begins with God. And I think really what we see here in these four points is really it's a microcosm of the gospel. It's a microcosm of the gospel. The gospel always starts with God. It always starts with who God is and what God has done in our lives. And so as you look at Judges chapter 1, verse number 1, the Bible says, "After the death of Joshua." I think it's important that we take just a moment to go back and remember, to kind of review Joshua. After the death of Joshua. So that kind of points us backwards for just a moment to Joshua. And in Joshua chapter 1, in the beginning, God gives specific directions to Joshua to go in and to possess the promised land. And the reality is, the book of Joshua is a yardstick to measure how people are doing in the book of Judges. So what does God say? If you go back to Joshua chapter 1, listen. He says to them, listen, he says, "Every place," verse 3, "that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory." That was a promise from God to the people of Israel. They will inherit that land. And then he also tells them that these military advances that they are about to accomplish, they must be accompanied by close and humble spiritual lives. Look at verses 7 and 8. He says to them, "Only be strong and very courageous, being very careful to do all according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So God says to Joshua, if you want to be successful, and by the way, graduates, if you want to be successful, this is a great passage of Scripture to be reminded of this morning. It's a great passage of Scripture. If you want to find success, he says, make sure that you center your lives on the Word of God. Be very careful to follow what God's Word says in your life. And so he says to them, I'm going to give you the land. And the next rest of the book describes how they went into the promised land. And it describes how they were successful, how they were obedient to trust in God. Yes, they had a few hiccups along the way. For example, Ai. We won't get into all of Ai, but they did have some hiccups along the way. But every time they had one of those hiccups, they got their minds and their hearts right with God, and eventually coming back to God. And listen, as they come to the end of the book of Joshua, listen to what he says. Go to Joshua 23, verses 5 and 6. He says, the Lord your God will push them back before you and drive them out of your sight. And you shall possess this land just as the Lord your God promised you. Therefore, be very strong to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, turning aside from it neither to the right hand nor to the left. Joshua reminds them before he leaves. He reminds them before he leaves that God is faithful and God will promises to protect them and to be with them. And then he gives them a couple of warnings. Verse 7, he says, that you may not mix with these nations remaining among you, or make mention of the names of their gods, or swear by them, or serve them, or bow down to them. In verse number 12, he says, for if you turn back and cling to the remnant of these nations remaining among you, and make marriages with them, so that you associate with them, and they with you, know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations before you, but they shall be a snare and a trap for you, a whip on your side, thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good ground that the Lord your God has given you. And so in Joshua, we see that God says, I'm going to give you the land. And he says, here's how you're going to be prosperous whenever you receive the land. And then we come to Judges, and God is faithful, friends. He's faithful. Look at verse number 2. The Lord said to Judah, you shall go up. Behold, listen, what does he say? I have given the land into his hands. God is faithful. Yes, Joshua's dead. And God's kingdom does not collapse. Not even when death takes God's most useful servants. The kingdom of God continues even though the servants of God have died. Joshua died. But Yahweh said, I have given the land into Judah's hand. Look at verse number 4. Then Judah went up. And the Lord gave the Canaanites and the Perizzites into their hand, and they defeated 10,000 of them at Bezek. Joshua died, but Yahweh was faithful. Joshua died, but Yahweh was still there. Look down in verse number 19 or 18. Judah also captured Gaza with its territory, and Ashkelon with its territory, and Ekron with its territory. And the Lord was with Judah, and he took possession of the hill country. You see, over and over again, these first 19 verses, we see that God is faithful. And God continues to review his faithfulness in chapter 2, in verses 1 and 2. He says to them, I am the one who brought you up. I am the one who delivered you. I am the one who did all of these things. Listen, friends, God is forever faithful. Whenever we were traveling to Haiti the first couple of times, it was shortly after the earthquake that hit that area. And so they would often have what they called rolling blackouts. And so many times we would be there and we didn't know exactly when the power was going to be on and when it was going to be off. All right, sometimes you go to bed at night and the fan would be working. And then about 1 o'clock in the morning, the fan wasn't working. You wake up in sweat, you know, it was hot. And we just never knew when the power was going to come on and when it was going to go off. Can you imagine if that happened here in the United States? I mean, we get upset whenever a snowstorm or a thunderstorm comes through and knocks our power out for 15 minutes. We want reliable power sources. We want reliable power sources, but sometimes that reliability isn't there. We desire to have reliable friends. I mean, all of us want to have reliable friends, people that we can trust and hold accountable. But sometimes, even our friends let us down. I want you to know this morning, dear friends, that God never lets us down. God is forever faithful. No matter what you're going through this morning, no matter what trials or difficulties you are facing, remember Lamentations chapter 3, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So in the beginning of this chapter, we see the faithfulness of God. God is forever faithful. But number two, I also want you to see a people that are disobedient. You know, some people do not follow the directions because the directions may be unclear. I mean, let's just be honest with each other this morning. Sometimes we don't follow the directions the right way because they weren't clear. I want you to know this morning that the directions that the Israelites have been given could not have been more clear. All right? I mean, they were clear. They knew exactly what they needed to do. If we were to go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, if we were to go back and read that chapter, I encourage you to write that down, Deuteronomy 6. God said to them, here's what you need to do. You need to love and obey Jehovah as the one true God. He said, you need to, number two, teach your children God's law. He said, number three, you need to be thankful for God's blessings. And then he told them clearly, crystal clearly, that you need to separate yourself from the worship of the pagans. He also said this in Exodus chapter 23, verse 33. Moses said, they shall not dwell in your land, lest they make you sin against me. For if you serve their gods, it will surely be a snare to you. So they knew what their directions were. They knew what their marching orders were. They were to go in and possess the land and to remove the Canaanites, remove completely their altars and their worship of false gods. But did they do that? No. I said at the beginning that things started out well. They started out well. Verses 1 through 18, they are accomplishing a lot and things are going well. But then verse number 19, if you notice, I stopped midway in verse 19. Look at it closely with me. It's almost unbelievable what happens. Verse 19, the Lord was with Judah. He took possession of the hill country, but he could not drive out the inhabitants of the plain because they had chariots of iron. That's their first mistake. Judah does not trust in God's strength, so they measure their own strength against their enemies, and they fail to push out the chariot-owning plain dwellers of that land. Listen, Judah doesn't trust God, so they don't secure their inheritance. They don't fulfill what God had commanded them to do, and the remaining Canaanites will prove to be a thorn in their sides for centuries and centuries to come. You see, it's not our lack of strength that prevents us